Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, June 5th, 2018, 2 p.m. Legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioners conference room. Item number one on today's agenda is report and recommendations regarding a dog versus human cases.
Yeah, Pat and Chantel are out of the office today, and so I'm going to be doing double duty.
Okay.
But the three of us are all kind of covering this issue in different perspectives. So this is now, just to back up a little bit in terms of how the law approaches the things that dogs do, you've got dog versus human and dog versus livestock. And in terms of what the county is supposed to do, basically, kind of, sort of, never the twain shall meet. And yeah. So what we've brought you here today is a report and recommendation regarding how to approach dog versus human cases. And oftentimes we're talking about bites, of course. There is a case that the district attorney recently dismissed, and so it does come back to the county. And our approach to the ordinance is such that the governing body does have discretion to assign authority for making a determination in these cases, and there's very specific statutory criteria and factors that the county has to address when making determinations and what to do with dogs who have bitten humans. And so what we've done is Mr. Weber has compiled, and I have also been working with him on this and signed it, a report and recommendation regarding how to approach dog versus human cases, both in the short term and also that presents a longer term strategy involving a dog control board.
Yes. So this would be an interim solution. Ultimately, we do, my recommendation is to build a dog control board. But in the interim, we have a number of cases coming up that we'd like to be able to move fairly quickly on. And so, barring an objection from the Board of Commissioners, I'd be okay filling the role of, what's the phrase?
Temporary proxy?
Yeah,
proxy, right.
Temporary proxy to conduct hearings on these cases.
Now, will these cases, you said that the district attorney basically shoved it back downstairs.
Well, yes. That's one specific case.
Right, but that's what my question is if we do the temporary proxy, is there a time limit on it or a limitation as to how many cases you take, or do we do them one at a time?
This will cover all cases of this nature.
Okay.
Until we form the board.
Correct.
Yes, which I plan on moving very quickly.
Yes, yes.
Until you form the board that's going to review these one at a time or whatever.
Yes, a dog control board.
Dog control board.
There's statutory regulations on who can be a part of that board.
Yes. So. Two members from the
livestock community.
Mm-hmm. So there is a dog control district. The Board of Commissioners is the governing body. It has been since 1960-something, literally. We can do more.
Now, going to that, you've got two members on the board from the livestock community. What about the dog versus human?
It would be the same board.
The same board, but is there somebody special on there from?
Oh, no.
Everybody on board is human, so therefore they would be covered.
Okay, well, I just didn't know whether they were only...
You don't need special people. So essentially, you can have a dog control board, and the intent of that board is to address dog versus human bites. Adding two individuals from the livestock industry allows that board to also cover
how many
dog versus livestock.
That's exactly right. It's up to you. That's up to
I think it's 7 to 9 off the top of my head. Something around that size. 7 to 9?
7 to 9.
Oh, look that up.
That's a lot.
Yeah. We'll get back to you on that question.
Okay, I'm just curious. I'm not
farming it now.
No.
We're just looking at
yeah.
The
yeah, right now we're doing the proxy.
What's the appeal process of either?
So the way we set it up, both would be subject to, it would essentially be he's making a decision on behalf of the county. Okay, so it's not coming to you. Both would be subject to a writ of review in the circuit court, both dog versus human and dog versus livestock cases.
But no matter what decision you make, there's another step?
Yes, would be subject to a writ of review in the circuit court. And the court would be looking for due process considerations.
Okay.
Did the person get their day in court, so to speak?
Okay. Commissioner Morgan, you have a question?
So when I had a previous job, I had been assigned as a hearings officer at one point, and we had training offered to us through the State Parole Board in how to conduct hearings in a due process in official way. Is there a training in this case for Mr. Weber that would cover those details, or is there specifically outlined in statute what he's required to do And then my other question would be just concern over ex parte contact, as far as in a hearing situation regarding how does that play out with he's our proxy.
Looking at it from the perspective of the circuit court, I think the court would be wanting to confirm the dog owner received due process. And so provided the person who's considering the case on behalf of the county announces any kind of potentially ex parte biases, as long as that's very clearly placed on the record, I think the circuit court would consider that acceptable.
Why are we just using our hearings officer as the assigned person? These have a tendency to get very political, and I would prefer it if we had an arm's length different distance between that and not putting, you know, one of our managers in the crosshairs. For the board to relinquish that responsibility and authority, it needs to be deliberate, and it needs to be to somebody who's either qualified, which if you haven't had that hearings officer training, I'm not saying the board is qualified or isn't qualified, but our hearings officer would be. Why wouldn't we do that for human versus livestock or animals for the livestock cases? That's where they're going right now, right? To a hearings officer.
Livestock cases.
Why wouldn't we delegate that authority to the hearings officer?
If the governing body is comfortable with delegating to someone outside of the county government, it's with abrogating your authority.
Absolutely. I mean, they're appealable to the circuit court. I don't have any control over his decision. The only control I have over is mine. If I were to hear these cases, I have a good tendency to know, you know, that the circumstances are there, where it's going to go. But I don't control your opinion, I don't control his, and I don't control the hearings officers.
Right, right.
So I have two important points there, and I'm going to look to Wally and Leah to tell me if I'm lying. The first one is the hearings officer is not actually speaking on behalf of the county because an appeal to the hearings officer goes to the board. So,
currently,
correct?
Okay, so that's in dog versus livestock.
Yes, for dog versus livestock cases.
Yeah, that's right. Now, in dog versus human, I would envision something similar to what's proposed here.
I don't see a difference between you being the hearings officer and the hearings officer.
Statutorily, the way it, yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Let me just
finish that point up. Yeah, so statutorily, livestock, it directly addresses that a hearings officer can be assigned, and then it says the governing body may decline to hear the appeal, at which point it's subject to a writ of review. So versus human, we don't see that hearings officer language. We see just the governing body.
So it doesn't actually allow us to have a separate hearings officer, but it would allow the board that is...
It doesn't distinct who we can delegate that authority to. The governing body has the authority to do that.
It's the governing body, yes. And so I don't see any prohibition on assigning...
This is just an interim solution, and I appreciate your willingness to be in that position, Mr. Weber, but I would prefer to delegate it to a hearings officer who doesn't have to wait for training or anything like that, and you have an arm's length. I don't need a connotation of another separate public health issue to be clouded by a previous decision of a public health director on an unrelated issue relative to two or three of these cases that are eventually going to be solved and heard by a board. That's what I would recommend. Keep it consistent if we have the authority to delegate, and it keeps Mr. Weber at arm's length. You have a very good point about you're the director of the program. You're going to have potentially information that a hearing officer will not have and wouldn't get it outside of a hearing. So you're going to have the potential to disclose a bunch of stuff that you've heard or whatever. You don't have to do that if you're not the hearings officer. So even though this wasn't a bad suggestion to start with, my recommendation is to keep it with where we've done, delegate to a particular hearings officer or whoever we have in retainer to do those things. And then it's seamless until we get that board established.
Until we get the board established. So that's my next question is how long is it going to take us to get the board established? And right now I understand we have some animals out there that have been there a long, long time trying to find both parties and get them in the same geographical hemisphere at the same time, and it's like this. And so
my biggest concern is first getting these cases moved quickly so that they can be resolved in an expedient manner. Do you think a hearings officer would be able to do these quickly? I know we've had trouble scheduling.
Your question's case two. Establishing a board, we can do that We could do that by the end of the week, in order. I mean, if it was needed to be, it's the populating it, advertising, making...
Right, that's what I mean.
Signing up.
We could be months into this thing.
Yeah.
Do we have a hearings officer that's willing to take the load?
That's what takes a while.
Do we have a pool of hearings officers, or one, or whatever?
We do have.
That's willing to take the load until we get that, and that might be 2 months from now. And we've got a bunch of...
I think we do, yeah. I mean, there's an expense attached to that, but I think budget can shoulder that, perhaps?
Certainly.
I don't want to speak for public health, but...
Yes, the county can fund that.
Depending on the number of cases, yeah. What's the expense per case?
$200.
$200?
You guys...
Okay.
You guys have been here during these challenging couple of these.
I support the hearings officer.
It only gets more complicated, I would imagine, when you bring people into this. And I just, the philosophy that I have is the further we can, you know, give the process, keep people out of the crosshairs that are, shouldn't be distracted by this doing what you were hired to do. It is not this. There's an expert out there.
The one that I've been involved in turned out to be an absolute can of worms, and we ended up going to a hearings officer to settle it.
Yeah.
So maybe, as you're saying, let's go to the hearings officer. Let's do that first, and it keeps us all...
The appeal goes to the circuit court. Keeps
all
it simple.
Away from it.
And let's work on that board.
Yes.
And get the board going up and running, as it is an animal district already. It kind of keeps it...
Right. And if we do a half a dozen of these in time it takes to get the board, do you have a priority list?
They're pretty rare. I mean, if we have three, I don't know how many. We haven't had, I've never heard one for a person since I've been here. Have I?
Well, the board's also picking up the dog versus livestock.
Oh, they would pick up that too because we'd populate with the other two.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't see a lot of value in doing it just for the dog versus human cases.
No, because we get a lot of livestock.
Yeah.
Or more.
It would be a hefty amount. When I was contemplating this role, I would probably look at holding a weekly session, perhaps every other week.
My concern was just making sure that we would, in that board, have the right staffing to make sure that we're following the right steps, and that statutorily that everything is outlined, and that we would provide training to the board and how to conduct a hearing and how to do that. So. Whatever we would need to do that I just want to make sure that it's above board. But I really like the idea of the board, and I really support that a hearings officer do it now.
Well, and I think you're on to something too. If anywhere we're going to get challenged, it's going to be over an animal.
Yes.
That's a hotbed of...
We've been doing a lot of work on these cases.
You guys have changed how I'm... My dog owner status changed because of our hearings. It really changed my perspective on how I even look at being a dog owner. And so I absolutely get it.
Golden rule that puppies and kittens are cute. And it can get people very passionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got direction. Any other questions of Michael or Wally or Leah?
So this time we're declining having you do it.
Okay.
Declining the proxy?
Now, do we need any order signature?
Actually, yes. So we'll have to come back with another form of order that would designate a hearings officer as the, the proxy in these cases, because it's, a different approach.
All right.
So we need to move this expeditiously. How soon? We need to get that
tomorrow. Thursday?
No.
Can it come to us before other on the weekly business session?
Yeah. We've changed the trajectory. We don't have time, and I'm not in the office for the rest of the weekend. The majority of the board can sign it on Thursday.
That will get you the 24 hours if it was Thursday morning at admin.
Okay.
If you're in support of that.
Yeah. Okay. You can address it as well at admin.
Okay.
Tomorrow?
At admin.
Thursday.
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 You need to talk about it again.
I will totally say I'll make that work.
Yeah, if we have the wording, we'd be ready to go forward.
Actually, you could approve it now, and then he can just do it.
Who is it? Are we naming somebody?
We're just naming
designated hearing. I guess I shouldn't volunteer him for the job yet. I mean, who we've been relying upon is Greg Day for dog versus livestock cases.
Mm-hmm.
This would be an expansion, of course, of his scope.
Do we have to name the exact hearings officer? So I would make a motion that we...
Qualified hearings officer.
Okay.
That we would establish a proxy for the board in the form of a hearings officer to handle dog versus livestock and dog versus... animals.
Humans.
Humans.
That's the same
sorry.
Place.
Yes, I'm sorry.
maybe I should think about it a little bit. I mean, because this would be subject to circuit court review in terms of whether the board actually made a final determination. So maybe I'll, if I've got a little bit of time.
Okay. You'll bring that back Thursday?
I'm on Thursday.
Okay.
That's when you should do it.
Thursday? That's fine. I mean, we've been this long. Let's take a breath and, as you say, make sure we're not stepping on any toes.
Well, let's get this hearing officer in the queue for next week if possible.
That we can do.
But I think you understand our angst of trying to get this thing done.
You don't have to wait for us to formally do it. They're not going to change the trajectory set. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would recommend you hold off. I'm not here on Thursday if you're going to change the trajectory. The hearings officer is the right place to be.
Okay.
So.
Okay. thank you, Michael.
Hold until I'll go on this.
What's that?
Contract.
I guess that matters for commissioners.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Weber.
Okay, let's see. Next is item number 2, codification project update.
Fast one. So we have submitted answers to all the questions. It came, I think, Thursday's when we finally signed it and sent it off. Sound right? Thursday?
Okay.
Last week. And so at this point, county has nothing. They're not waiting on us to do anything. Now we're waiting on them. I haven't received any communications that there are further questions coming our way. Haven't received any that there aren't, but we have answered every question that they've sent us.
Excellent. So this should be the last phase before a final.
I've got to think so.
I hope so. We've done this a few times.
That's the thing. I know. I totally understand the feedback, and I appreciate it.
Okay,
so
we'll get there.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The ball's in their court now. That's the name.
Ball's in their court.
Thank you, Wally.
Maybe a follow-up. And
Leah and
if we are there,
and everybody else.
What is those timelines? Timelines as far as like, well, it takes us 12 weeks to print. Mm-hmm. Really? You know, we don't have to wait on that because we're going to do with an electronic copy. We wanted very few of the binder, you know, maybe a half a dozen or so. If they just somehow to do expeditiously move it forward so that we're not waiting on the print document to get here, so that that's when we post the electronic version. I'm throwing something out there.
Yes.
But, you know.
Okay, any more on item number 2, codification?
Just on that.
And moving along to item number 3, draft ordinance number 2018-XXX, an ordinance relating to firearms.
So I'm going to declare a conflict of interest and not take part in the conversation.
A potential.
Okay, potential conflict of interest.
Okay, thank you. Draft ordinance, as reflected in the header, is today. It's today's draft. It reflects the changes that the board requested last week, and I can go over, take 30 seconds to go over exactly what those were. So the first was 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth, whereas. It says, whereas the criminal misuse of weapons is due to the fact that criminals, based on the discussion, it sounded like it had previously said the criminal misuse of firearms, and so there's discussion that made me think he wanted to change that to weapons, and so that's the word that's been substituted in on that point. As to section 2, the word governmental was removed, so whereas it had previously said the purpose of this ordinance is to protect citizens against governmental encroachment, and now says to protect citizens against encroachment. On sections 4.03 and 4.07.
I'm sorry, Wally, you're moving a little too fast.
Certainly.
I was reading the first section, and you said weapons, and I'm struggling to see that.
Okay. That is the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth, whereas.
Okay. Sorry, I was down in the sections.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Yes. To make it consistent, you call it the firearms. So I don't know that we need to change it from firearm. You know what I mean? Just changing it one whereas.
Where are you?
Fifth whereas.
Fifth.
There it is. That word.
Okay.
Over there.
I mean, arms is really the word that's in the Constitution.
Okay.
But up on top it says it's an ordinance relating to firearms. Yeah. So shouldn't the misuse of firearms?
Yeah.
Yes.
Be do, you know, keep it consistent with what we're doing in the title.
I think, I know what you were going for, but that's probably the better.
Firearms it is.
I think we can go through this and just review it and then bring it back. Well, I'm going to have to think about it.
Yep. Okay.
For me, it's a lot shorter, so it's less to go through, so I think that's good.
If you're going to be out of town tomorrow, you say?
I'm going to be unavailable for a little while.
Tomorrow, okay, so you want to get this, anything, you want to read it over real quick, like, and
I'll have
get back to Wally today?
Today.
Okay.
Yeah. If I am struggling with something, it's the fact that, well, I don't know, it's a challenge to say that, you know, some of those ORSs I may agree with, which technically might infringe upon the unconstitutionally infringes. We weren't going to get into the legalities of some of those cases that, you know, maybe even the Supreme Court has ruled, you know, you legally can say that people who have committed a particular felony should no longer have the ability to possess a firearm. But I have an acquaintance that, you know, was tried and convicted of some sort of a criminal act when he was a kid, a young adult. I think it was marijuana related, and he has lost his privilege to, you know,
but there is
firearm.
There is a process that he can have all that expunged now.
He went through that, but in my opinion, you know, a low-level marijuana-related violation, that doesn't constitute losing your.
But that is that up to us to make that determination? Because we can go case by case by case by case. This is a very broad swath of the brush.
I'm thinking it may not be even broad enough. That I might want to strike out just infringes upon the rights. I don't know. Because I don't have the constitutionality element of it to find. There are provisions, and they are consistent constitutionally that restrict, but I don't know. I don't know what those are. Those are the things that I'm going to look at through this.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think it's probably right on broad enough. So
okay.
Good progress, Wally.
Okay. I mean, everything's up for grabs, I would think. And this doesn't resemble any of the other ordinances or resolutions that I've encountered.
Interestingly enough, I had a conversation with two of the other counties that have either passed or is passing, and they understood the concern that I had last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, like, yeah, that they're all flawed from that perspective. And so Douglas County is going through theirs tomorrow, and it's just, we're going to have to work through it.
Well, I just think if you go, and that's my simple mind thinking, if you get it tangled up in the ORSs, you do one, you're going to do them all. So this right here just goes before there's any ORSs and gets right back to the meat of the problem.
Right.
That, you know, whereas Josephine County Charter prohibits the government from infringing upon the right to bear arms, and that's it. We're going right back to the Second Amendment and what it says. And I don't see there's, then you can, I guess, challenge it by ORS from there on out. But
okay,
we'd have 10 pages of ORSs involved in this.
That's
and each one of them are,
that's an option.
You'll find they'll contradict each other all the way down through that. So.
And the courts are, you know, picking through it day in and day out, so they haven't necessarily got it all sorted out.
What is our time frame of having to get this done if we wanted to have it? I mean, I don't want us to rush through something.
Okay, what do you mean? You mean in terms of referring it, or?
Well, I think we know the timeline for referring it, but if we were to just do it on our own and we wanted it effective before the November election.
It would be 90 days before the election, okay. I can
do
that calculation.
The other thing is that there's a delay, you know, they have a challenge time and everything on elections, but anyway.
Is it August?
August would be 90 days.
We've got time. I don't want to feel like we're rushed. I also don't want to belabor this too long. So.
And there's a lot of people thinking it's on the agenda next week.
Did that happen?
I don't know. We've never talked about it going to a weekly business session.
And I would like to see it sooner rather than later because, you know, we're going to be sitting here talking about this and be in our 90-day waiting period.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the legislature could spring on this tomorrow. If they brought up something, would they have to wait 90 days? No.
Yeah, but they have to call for a special session. Yeah. She already did that. So I don't know that you get... How many she only gets?
Unlimited.
Oh, really?
What could the governor do? Could the
governor
write
a special session?
Yes.
do an executive order and say that's what I want to do. This is not moving past that one. I want this weapons thing. And why there's kids dying in schools every day, emergency. And she put something in play just now. All of a sudden, bang, it's done.
We live in interesting times.
Well, even if that does happen, this ordinance doesn't stop it. The charter is the stronger of the element, and that's
another hurdle.
So it's kind of like we're better positioned to defend something like this than any other county in the state of Oregon. So they're all trying to catch up with where we're at, in my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure that's how the math works. We'll get it going.
Okay. Timeline, should I put it on for next week? Should I give it a little longer, wait to hear back from Commissioner?
That'll be an evening meeting next week.
Next Thursday. Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday. We won't be here Tuesday.
We won't be here Tuesday.
We're looking to have
a Wednesday.
Wednesday at 3:00 before the weekly business session that night.
Good.
If you're able to have a legal session at 3:00 on the 13th.
Okay.
And then it would go the weekly business session the next week.
Okay.
Okay, next Wednesday at 3:00.
Okay. That work for you, Wally?
Yeah. That works.
Okay. All right. Good work, though.
I think
we'll get it. We'll get her hammered out here.
Was it in the newspaper? There was a lot of people responding to an article in the paper. I'm wondering if that's where it was printed, that it was going to be on the 13th.
I don't know. I read that article.
You can't blame Mr. Hall. He was out of town.
No, I know it wasn't him.
Yeah, it was Jeff Duell's one that did the article. He called me, and I don't think I said anything like that, but I may have.
Mm. Well.
Okay.
So. Okay. And if we've made some pretty drastic changes that we have to start all over again anyway. Can't bring it back to the weekly business session until you made the changes here.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Item number 4 matters.
Did anybody have a chance to reach out to the library on the library district IGA? There were some components that were outside of legal.
Yes.
That were outside of the lease agreement. Pat made a great point about putting it in the lease. But there were some other things that I think maybe I had a conversation with her afterwards that weren't not going to be covered in a lease style. So
I spoke with Kate Lasky on Monday. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Please.
And she is still interested in coming to us and having a discussion about some options and some possibilities.
Okay.
And I mean, I'd be open for that. I mean, just as far as a dialogue of what are you looking for? Maybe even just through you guys as far as before it comes to us.
The relationship between the county and the library district is going to be perpetual. I mean, there's annexation agreements that come through the board. There's all sorts of considerations. And so I can see there being a need.
Just to
there
define
being a purpose
some of those
for an
things.
IGA.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether my office is connected or not, I don't have an answer for it with Kate.
I don't think it's any urgency. Her urgency was probably unrelated. I've been a liaison to the libraries, I think, since I've been on. And so that's what she's looking to try to shore up.
Okay.
That there's an understanding there that, you know, I support the libraries. She doesn't know, much like the Forest Practices Ordinance, what's the future board, not this board. It's the board that comes after us. But what does that relationship look like? And having, you know, now it's a district, is it going to be treated well, you know, as a not the redheaded stepchild, or because there is still a charter provision that requires the county to provide for libraries.
Yes.
So, you know, I respect that portion, but to how much we should define it, that there will be a perpetual.
That's a good idea.
Okay. We'll follow up on that and get back to you.
Okay.
Anything else? Do you have anything for matters, Commissioner Morgan?
I'll save it after the executive session.
Okay.
Do we have the contract through AOC for the marble muralette advocate, Tim Vanderberg?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's going to be an AOC with a contract with AOC to retain Tim Vanderberg to represent Coos, Douglas, and Josephine County, the three counties with timber holdings, in the state board appointed to facilitate rulemaking for the protections of the marble murrelet. Our portion is $10,000. And so we discussed this before, I think, utilizing forestry revenues. Obviously, that's the, it's a cost of doing business to make sure that there's somebody at the table making sure that our voice is heard, because nobody else is carrying the water on us on this issue, because we're the only ones with timber.
And I think changing up, they've been fielding the same caliber all along. We're just going to change to a different caliber, I think.
It's a different issue.
Yep, it's a different issue.
That's the federal one. This one's the state one. Mm-hmm. And Wally will update you on the federal one later.
I can do
that. Do it now?
Well,
different language.
You can do it now.
So it's a matter from commissioners and
sure.
Yeah.
Wally and I met with a gentleman yesterday who's provide services in DC on advocating for forest management practices. And so looking at trying to augment our advocacy efforts that we already have, either litigation-wise, legislative-wise, and just trying to come at it from a different tact. And so.
Yeah, I think suffice to say, objectively, an opportunity here has emerged between the rising price of timber and also the need, the federal government's identified need for building supplies within Puerto Rico. So the federal government has now, I think, taken has given a little bit of a more open-minded indication toward addressing the ONC properties and the level of yield that is traditionally been insisting upon.
Do they have inventories elsewhere in America other than the Pacific Northwest and ONC? Do they have other stockpiles of standing timber that they say we don't really even need, that we can keep preserving that forest in the Northwest?
Apparently
and
not.
we're going to go log the Alleghenies.
But
we've got a lot of private
holdings
in the
breadbasket of timber, but worldwide, Russia's the number one producer. So that's where they get a lot of timber from. South America, but there's a different kind of wood down there. So if you're looking for buildable softwoods, the conifer species, it's in this northern hemisphere. And in that, you know, 40
parallel
style. But I
mean, just inside America, do they inventory or have stockpiles of, like, say, the Allegheny Mountains? It's private holding, big deal, but it satisfies the marketplace and it satisfies the need in Puerto Rico, and then still holds all of the timber in the Pacific Northwest in reserve.
But so
there's a reason. What's so special about ours?
Yeah, we buy a lot of timber.
So the market is basically giving us the answer
special,
to that question.
I think you asked
they need our
the most important question, Commissioner DeYoung. You know what? What did you ask? What's so special about ours? Congress said that's what it's for. Set aside everything else for a multiple use element. Not that 2.4 million acres. It's a dominant use. Called out in the Federal Lands Policy Management Act, called out in the 37 ONC Act, and it hasn't been changed. So it's really an administration's interpretation of what the law actually says, which we will, you know, get our day in court this fall, and that's going to be the interpretation. Every other subsequent piece of litigation has resulted in a favorable outlook, just like the state forest trust lands. We've sued counties, Josephine, and others twice before and won, and we're going to win on this next one. So one of the reasons why I think it's really important that we do this contract for Tim Vandenberg is that all of that yellow stuff in the next year, legislative session, when we go to trial and the state looks like it's going to lose a $1.4 billion case, and they're going to lose, they're going to want to settle. And their settlement agreement is going to be probably that legislation that Wally and Carl and I came up with, of let's divest the state of these forest trust land holdings. So we're going to inherit 7,000 acres back of our timber holdings. Wouldn't it be terrible if we inherit it back and then you can't log it because it's prime marble murrelet territory or something like that? So all of this stuff has a strategy, and we've got to keep hitting it from different issues, different areas, and I think we will prevail. there's a strategy here, but you can't just fight like the British and, oh, we'll wait until we win the lawsuit to write the legislation. Hand the judge the legislation that's already been drafted. You gotta put it to them on a. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's where we're at. I'm in favor of looking at some sort of a contract.
Yeah.
We had a very favorable meeting. Sid Lykin from Lane County drove down from Eugene and met with all three of us and the prospective contractor. And it just, I think now is the time. You know, we've got the worldwide need. We can provide it. And our mortality on this, you know, the forest is just, it's either burning up or dying from disease. It needs to be managed. And I think the administration can just say, we're not going to change your resource management plan. We're going to go with what the law says. Let your litigation go too. That's just fine. Keep that on the burner. But in the meantime, our administration is going to say, you're going to do this because this is what Congress wanted us to do.
Yep.
Could be a real short conversation.
Could be. The prospective contractor seems quite adept in this kind of work. And so we've invited him to engage me, and we would then pursue contract possibilities that would come in within the direct appointment class of the public contracting code, which is up to $20,000.
He knows the words to say.
Yes. Okay. By all indications. That's my take.
He knows how to say them to who he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Him and the people that are in charge are tight.
Okay.
I think it's a blessing that we
anything
have
else for matters?
Like this.
Updates on that will follow.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Okay, item number 5, executive session. Today is Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. It is now 2:37 p.m. and the Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda item. Item 5A, discussion regarding over-the-county real estate property sales, ORS 192.6602E. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff should be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during executive session except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session. Welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:37 p.m.
This is added at Commissioner Harris prompting.
Is this the latest and greatest?
It is. It is 3:04, and we are back in session at, we're back in session at 3:05 p.m. We'll continue on the legal counsel update. Continued. Item number 5 is matters for commissioners.
And we'll simply we're back on. Okay. So as far as the executive session, the legal counsel is to continue to entertain and negotiate over the counter offers.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and Mr. Wimber is back. The public health commissioner liaison care to initiate. Do you know what we're talking about?
No, and okay. That's my fault. I was planning on getting this on Thursdays, but I figured since I was here, I'd bring it up now. You know of this, just not that it was coming up today.
Thank you.
This is the contract for school-based health centers.
Oh, yep.
So school-based health centers have two components to them from a funding perspective. One is the core funding for the school-based health centers, which is contracted with Siskiyou Community Health Center. There's a separate component specifically for mental health. This is purely a contract to pay options for the provision of mental health services at school-based health centers.
Is there one in every school?
No, we have 3 school-based health centers, and it's a fairly controlled program. It's not something that's done broadly. They focus on
junior high, high school. Where is it?
Grants Pass School District has one person for their entire district. Then there's Three Rivers does it different. So we have 2 different school districts.
Mm-hmm.
Options has folks at the IV schools.
Yep. And I believe they have one specifically for the school-based health center here, or they have somebody that travels in. So this is a service that they've been providing in the past, and it's something they've been receiving this funding, but it wasn't as formalized in a in a contract structure as a sheriff.
How does the mental health aspect of it come up with? Because with all the school shootings and all of this that's going on in the schools, and they get all done, and the kid's all done with anything, and they find out he has mental issues.
So
does this attack any of that or address any of it at all as a mental health issue in school? So is there somebody that a kid can go up to this school-based officer and say something?
Yes, the students can request direct support through the school-based health center, and they can be referred for mental health services. That's part of what this provides. And the school can also refer students over. It's a way to provide directly on scene rather than saying, hey, bring this note home to your parents, and then the note says, hey, you should really get Jimmy checked out. It's a way to address a lot of the issues directly on scene and provide a higher quality of care than what you'd normally find in a school environment.
So is this something we can sign right now?
Or does I'm going to look to Wally. Business session? I think it needs to go to
it's
weekly
It's a renewal,
business.
Or because it lapsed, we...
It's never been in a form of contract. And I have no awareness as to why.
So we passed one last month for Siskiyou Community Health. This is the mental health one.
It's the exact same program. It's just the mental health component of it. Normally, the one organization handles both, but because Siskiyou doesn't provide the mental health services, Options picks that one component. They work with Siskiyou to provide that service. This is the signed contract from Options. I don't know where that goes or if I should hold on to it.
Did Wally and Legal look at that?
Well, I don't think so. I think Leah's
Leah drafted and developed it.
Oh, she has signed it. Okay, so it has been approved.
Okay, so it's come through Legal. So the next stop would be us.
And I think it needs to go to weekly business session.
So yes,
we would have you put a cover sheet on it.
Oh, yeah.
Sign.
Okay.
That
makes sense. Session it is.
Okay. All right, so that'll
be... So just a reminder, next Wednesday is an evening meeting, 5:30.
Yeah, Wednesday's our next meeting.
After
tomorrow,
this week.
But mm-hmm. Week from tomorrow is an evening meeting.
Okay, I'll get it on that one.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, great, thank you.
Good, thank you. Anything else? Commissioner Hare was looking at those maps over there as to how things are going along in the sidewalk
project.
Yes,
if that was the current map, and I think it's the last week's map update.
Well, there was a map that Rob Brandis dropped off yesterday, but it's very vague.
Okay.
I went out there and looked, and gosh, even the map that he brought out, they were troweling that done. And it just shows that that's under construction on our latest map, even the one he brought yesterday. So, I think the main consensus is it seems to be going very well out there. It looks to me as if, I was just taking a peek at how they were doing driveway approaches. For instance, the marijuana shop, he says, gosh, are they going to block my whole driveway off? No. They poured half of it. They're letting that cure. Mm-hmm. They can use the other half of the driveway. Then they'll pour that half and cordon one off. So I think they're really going out of their way. The gas station wanted all the junipers pulled out. They're all pulled out, sidewalks all poured in there. They're forming the approaches around to Pleasant Valley. So that looks like that's going to be poured fairly soon.
Well, I just don't know if he's coming back or...
I don't know.
Commissioner Hare. Okay. Because I know he wanted the update, so...
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Or if he had a phone call or what.
Perhaps, yeah.
But anyway, I think that Rob was going to be here to do that, but he's not. So, possibility that he can squeeze in here on Thursday or something and give an update on it.
Oh, I can pass it along if you'd like.
Just to get an updated map?
An updated map? Or do you want him here? Just the
Rob?
Map? Yeah.
I don't.
Commissioner Hare won't be here.
That's right, Commissioner Hare will be here. I don't.
There'll be another update next week.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you will have something more next week and a fresh map.
And
because between now and then, they're hammering out. They've still got today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. So
it would probably be best on Thursday admin or Wednesday legal at 3, but
We're going to crowd in a lot on Wednesday, legal at 3.
I understand. So maybe Thursday, admin at 14th. But okay. Realize that's about a 2-week deadline at that point for the 4th of July deadline. So it might be good to get a trajectory of where we're at.
Good benchmark of where we are. And express our concern. We have to express our concern because there's a high stakes lunch on this one.
Okay, I'll pass that along to him.
Okay.
My only other issue was that I, due to the potential conflict of interest with this investigation, I believe it is appropriate for me not to be the liaison to the DA's office or to Lipsick at this time. And I think that just because of the potential of where it goes, I think Commissioner Hare is probably the only one that would be appropriate to be those. And yet he's not in the room for me to...
Volunteer him?
Correct.
See if I...
It might be worth... Okay.
None of you being volunteered forever on your piece. Well, and you're absolutely right.
I would say you for Lipsick, but I, because of Sheriff and Community Corrections, but I think both of us probably at this time should stay out of it.
Yep, let it run its course. Wendy?
Yeah, Rob's scheduled to come in on Thursday. You want me to bump him?
What's that?
You don't need an update on Thursday? He's scheduled to come in on Thursday.
Who's that, Rob? Mm-hmm. So we'll go next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, in that case, seeing nothing further, we'll...
What do we do with that?
What do you want to know?
We have a quorum. And I think that's something that needs to be done probably sooner than later. Mm. So I think by default, the only option is that Commissioner Hare needs to be it.
And I think, why don't we just put that in, that Commissioner Hare be that representative?
So I'll make that motion, that Commissioner Hare be liaison for DA and Lipsick.
And I second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Hare is absent at the vote, 2-0. Motion carries. And that way, if he has anything he wants to contest on that, he can do it at the next meeting. Okay?
Alrighty.
With that, we are adjourned at 3:14 p.m.
Thank you.